that. All right, take your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter number 3. Looking through this past year, I've preached several times on different things that have been going on this year, and this year has been an unprecedented time in many people's lives. Global pandemic, government shutdowns, a lot of different things going on, political unrest, social unrest, a lot of different things. And though the message this morning isn't going to be about that, I would say that this year there's been a lot of attention-getting things that have gone on in our lives, have gone in our country. And this morning we're going to look at one of those attention-getting accounts that we see in Exodus chapter 3 in the life of Moses. And a message entitled this morning, Does He, speaking of God, does He have your attention? After the events of this year, if God doesn't have your attention, I don't know what will get it. But sometimes as Christians, we can tend to go on about our business and our lives and kind of get on autopilot. Though we're doing the right things, we're in church, we're serving God, but we can get on autopilot and not give God our full and undivided attention. Though we're doing what God wants us to do, He is trying to speak to us. He's trying to tell us something. And I believe that God has something special for our church in the new year. And I believe that we need to take stock this week and take stock right now. Does He have your attention? Now the holiday festivities are over. You know, a lot of us going back to work tomorrow or in the next week. And, you know, ask this question. Does God have your attention? We see in Exodus chapter 3, we'll give some background here. Of course, Moses, we know, is on the backside of the desert. Moses was born in a time where the Israelites had increased in strength, several million people, and the Pharaoh of Egypt decided that they were getting too powerful, and so he put out a command that all the baby boys would be thrown into the river, and the Nile River, and be eaten by the crocodiles, and to kill them, to do that, or to have the midwives kill them at birth. The Hebrew midwives would not do that. And so Moses was born. He was kept. He was about 2 years old. His mother could no longer hide him. And so she put him in an ark made of bulrushes and with pitch and set him in a place where she knew that the daughter of Pharaoh would come down to the river and so that he would be taken in. So Pharaoh's daughter adopted him. He was raised as an Egyptian. He was raised in the customs and the knowledge of the Egyptians. But we also know that he was also aware and he knew the way of the Hebrews. And he came to a time when he was old enough that he decided that instead of being called the son of the daughter of Pharaoh, instead of keeping the political position, instead of keeping his position as maybe even in line for being a Pharaoh, he decided that he was going to go and be with his people and be with God's people. And he decided that he was going to do that. And then we see there came a situation where one of the Egyptian taskmasters was abusing one of his brethren, and he rose up against that Egyptian, as the Bible says, and killed him. That Pharaoh found out about it and sought for his life. So Moses left, Moses ran, and he went into the land of Midian. He found Jethro and his daughters there, intercede on their behalf and allowed them to water their sheep. And then we see that Moses got married, and Moses had a son. And then we see this later on in Moses' life that God comes to him. So now Israel is in a terrible state. They're in slavery. They originally came to Egypt during the time of Joseph to escape famine, and now they had multiplied, been there over 430 years, and they came to a time where the Egyptians enslaved them, and now they are in terrible condition. As in Exodus chapter 1, it talks about that God heard their cry of under the affliction, under the bondage of the Egyptians. And we see here, let's read Exodus chapter 3 and verses 1 through 6 this morning. So go ahead and take your Bibles out. So that was a little bit of introduction. So this morning, some helpful hints. If you're watching at home, make sure and put your phones on silent. If you're watching on your phone, keep your phone up, the volume up. But if you're watching on a television or something like that, or on a laptop, silence your phones, just like you would in church. You know, everyone sit around in a seat. Make sure everyone has their Bible out. Make sure if the little ones need, give them some toys, and make sure that this is not just another time lounging around the living room, but to sit up straight. And remember, this is just like in church. Take your Bible out and make sure you follow along. Take notes even. So, I know you can go back and watch this later and all of that. It's like, well, we can always watch it later. Take time when it's being broadcast to watch and to learn. So thankful for everyone joining us this morning. So let's read together. Take your Bibles out. Exodus chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1. We're going to read a lot of the chapter here as we go on, but we'll start with the first 6 verses. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Verse number 8, And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of Canaan, of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Amazing promise of God. So we're going to stop there. We're going to continue reading here in just a moment. First, let's open in word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless our time together. You pray at home that the Lord would encourage you this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. This is an unusual time here this morning, having church remotely, but Lord, we look forward to Wednesday. And Lord, I pray that you would give me the words to say, that the lack of people not be a distraction to me, Lord, but that I would just preach what you put on my heart. I pray that we would have your undivided attention, Lord, that we would give all of our attention to you. And we pray to you, Lord, that whatever you ask us to do, whatever task you call us to, whatever you desire for us to do, that we would do it. I pray this morning that you would touch our hearts and burden us, Lord, in areas where you want us to serve you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Usually I say you may be seated, but a lot of you already be sitting down right now. But Exodus chapter 3. So an amazing series of events here. So we see in the first couple of verses here that there's something that gets Moses' attention. So he's out on the backside of the desert. You know, he was being a shepherd, taking care of the sheep. To be honest, on the backside of the desert, nothing interesting happens there. Maybe a stray jackal or a stray animal that he had to take care of. But here he sees a bush burning with fire. So the word here is a bramble bush. So nothing unusual about the bush necessarily. Maybe it wasn't that unusual that it was burning. But the thing that Moses noticed was that the bush burned with fire and the bush was not consumed. It wasn't that the bush was burning was something that was interesting. But he saw this and he thought to himself, how in the world is that happening? Why is that bush burning and it not turning to ash, that is not burning up? Anything that is small, like a thin branch and has small leaves on it, burns really quickly and it'll burn very brightly and very hot, but it doesn't last very long. So maybe he was watching that for a moment, looking out there, and he said, oh, that bush is on fire. Maybe the sun or something happened where it lit on fire, and he was just watching. He said, but wait a minute, it's not burning in the way. You know, whenever you see something that seems normal, but then say, wait a minute, that doesn't look normal. That's not right. And he began to notice, and then he saw, wait a minute, this is not burning up. It looks just the same. I can still see the leaves. I can still see the twigs. I can still see all the details of it. This is unusual. God used this as an attention-getting device for Moses. And you know what? There are times that we get distracted. There are times, that I know maybe even Moses was distracted in this time of his life. We are not really sure. But let me ask a personal question this morning. Does God have your undivided attention? What I mean is, I'm not saying that we stare up to the heavens and it's, okay, God, you have my attention. But more, does our heart open? Are we looking for the hand of God? Are we looking for the leading of God? Are we doing the work of God? Does he have your undivided attention? This year has been a year of distractions, to say the least. A lot of distracting things going on, and there's a lot of things that we could get into, but we're not going to right now. But at a time when God should have our attention, I remember seeing at the beginning of this pandemic that it seemed that people were really turning to God, that people were really looking at maybe that they were going to get this virus, and maybe they were end of their days was coming, and people got serious about God. People got serious about going to church. People got serious about getting in their Bible. But it seemed, I'll never forget, after 9/11, September 11th in 2001. Well, I remember that like it was yesterday. And people, they had prayer meetings. People had a time where they prayed to God. And guess what? That lasted about 8, 9, 10 months. Then we went to war that next year. And it seemed that the consciousness for God lasted maybe a year, year and a half. But then we know the phrase, we'll never forget. It seemed people forgot really fast about God. And it seems to be the habit of our culture and of our country right now, where we turn to God in times of crisis, but then when that crisis is over, people turn back away, and the same thing has happened. And there seems to be a fog of apathy that has descended, that, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and it seems like all of these things are going on. Let me ask you, does God have your attention? God is not a God of apathy. God is not a God of laziness. God is not a God of just sitting back and let's see what happens. God is a God of action, and He has a plan and a calling and a purpose for you, just like He had for Moses. So let's take a look at this attention-getting experience of Moses. So for number one this morning, attention-getting experience in verse 1 through 7. This was an experience, a bush that was burning, a bush that wasn't being consumed. What Moses noticed was the supernatural. It's not a supernatural thing for a bush to burn. It is a supernatural thing for a bush to burn and it not be consumed. That is what Moses noticed. But God used that as an attention-getting device so that God could tell Moses something. Now, I'm not going to add to the scriptures here, but I want to think for a moment, why did God choose to do this? Why did God choose to appear to Gideon, send an angel of the Lord to Gideon as he did? Why does God do this? God does things to get our attention because maybe we're not listening. And maybe we're not open. I don't know what many times is because these people, especially with Gideon, you see him putting out the fleece, is because Gideon had doubts. He felt like God had forsaken their nation. It really, the nation had forsaken God. And he wanted to see God do great and mighty things again. And so God chose to strengthen his faith and gave him signs to strengthen his faith. And Moses, we don't know his personality. We know that he was a very humble man. And we see that, and also he just felt like that he wasn't worthy of doing any of these things. But God spoke to him. So Moses turned aside, and when it said, verse number 3, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now, imagine going up to something that's burning, a bush, and then all of a sudden a voice comes out of that bush and begins to speak to you. He knew it was God. He said, here am I, I'm here, and knew him by name, where no one was. No one for probably miles and miles and miles, him by himself out there with these sheep. And now God was speaking to him. A bush that was burning, that was an attention-getting experience. A bush that was burning and not consumed. Now here's the second attention-getting thing, the voice of God. Moses was not expecting to be spoken to. He was drawn to the unusual event, but then God then spoke to Moses. And what did he say? The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Well, God had some instructions for him, verse number 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither. I mean, don't get any closer. Put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. He was afraid. Now, this was the burning, fiery presence of God, and he was afraid to look upon God. He knew that God was holy, and he was nothing. And God spoke to him and told him that he was going to use him. God was going to deliver them, and he was going to use Moses to do it. You know, here's a lesson here. God works the same way in our lives. when we're not giving God our attention. Maybe God had tried other ways to get Moses' attention. We're not 100% sure. But he many times brings supernatural circumstances into our lives. Now, I'm not talking about anything weird, hocus-pocus stuff. But there are times that we know God has done something. That something that should have happened and didn't. Maybe it's a bad thing that should happen and didn't. We know that God's hand is there. Maybe something good happened, and you know there's no way that could have happened except for the hand of God. And when God does that, that gets our attention. Our attention is turned from where we live on this earth to the heavens, and we praise God, or we thank God, or we say, God, what does this mean? He does this so we will give our attention to him. It's easy to get distracted. Easily to get distracted. Human beings are many times, I would say, the most distracted creatures in the universe. Because you look at the nation of Israel and their history, they would serve God and very easily they get distracted by a false god. You see even in the New Testament church, you see Paul. Moses wasn't around the New Testament, he was in the Mount of Transfiguration, but we see Paul. He would found a church. We see that in Corinth. We see that in Galatia and Ephesus and these different places. He would be gone a short amount of time, a year, year and a half, and he had to be writing back to them and saying, why have you forsaken the gospel that was preached unto you? Why are you going after another gospel? Why are you going after the work salvation of the Judaizers? Why are you getting distracted? In Revelation chapter 2, we see that God, Jesus Christ himself, wrote letters to the seven churches, and we see that they were getting, some of them were doing right. Some of them had come completely apostate, and others, they were getting distracted. We see that one had left their first love, gotten distracted. We all have to take stock. Are we gotten distracted? Are we distracted right now? Have you gotten distracted from your relationship with God? Have you gotten distracted from serving God? He brings us many times to the place of listening so that we can come to that place and hear the voice of God. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse number 15. Jesus said over and over again, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And that doesn't mean someone that has physical hearing. That means someone that's listening with an open heart. They have spiritual ears to hear, because Jesus was saying things to the Pharisees, but they didn't have an open heart to hear. They rejected before he even said. They had already rejected anything he was going to say before he even said it. They rejected that. And so he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Meaning those that have, they are giving God their attention with all of their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul. God can do something with a person like that. Luke 8, chapter 8, verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So this is talking about this parable, the sower and the seed, talking about what the good ground is. People that have ears to hear, and you know what? When we get to that place, God's going to bring forth fruit, not only with the gospel, but if you're a Christian and the Bible and the Word of God and the principles of God's Word and the commands of God's Word, if you have an open heart to them, God can plant them in your heart, and that will bring forth fruit, the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of God's blessing and the fruit of seeing God use you to do wonderful and miraculous things. Look at James chapter 1, verse number 19. This is how every Christian ought to be. This is a model. Verse number 19, James 1. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Slow down and listen. We need to listen to God. And that's exactly what Moses was doing. He was listening. And so let's look at the message. So second, first we see an attention-getting experience. Second, an attention-getting message. Let's look back at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And begin in verse number 8. So we see that God gives him an amazing thing. Now, we got to understand something here, the whole background more. The Israelites have been praying and calling out to God for deliverance from their burdens, from their taskmasters, from their bondage. The Bible said they were in bitter bondage. And God was now answering that prayer. And instead of getting someone from the nation, instead of getting someone that was there, someone that went through those situations, God uses Moses. God goes to Moses, who on the backside of the desert, who is hundreds of miles away, who has fled many years before from the land of Egypt, was in exile. Now God comes to him and tells him this, and I've come down to deliver them, this is verse number 8, out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land, unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and there shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Now, stop for a moment here. Where was Moses? Moses was at Mount Sinai. Now, this isn't the traditional, if you look at the Catholic Church and other places, that Mount Sinai is in other places. But we see where the burning bush was, this is Mount Sinai, and Moses brought them back. This is where the law was given. This is where God wanted his people to worship him, and where God gave the law, where God gave the instructions for the tabernacle, where God gave all that his people were to do. And then he was going to lead them to the promised land. And we see that God promised to be with him. And that this wasn't just Moses' job to do. That Moses, I'm going to go send you out here, and good luck, send you back in there. Moses, you're just going to go, and you're going to go walk right up to Pharaoh. You're going to tell him what you think you need, he needs to do, and you're on your own, and whatever happens, happens. If he cuts your head off, then so be it. But isn't that what God said? Verse number 8 says, and I am come down to deliver them out of the land of out of the hand of the Egyptians. I am come down. I am going to do that. But Moses, you're going to be the one I use to do it. It's going to be my power. It's going to be my glory. It's going to be my doing. But Moses, I'm going to use you. You are going to be my instrument. You are going to be my mouthpiece. I'm going to use you to do my bidding. Do you know why God chose Moses? Because he was a humble man. Because he said, well, I can't do this. This isn't a job for me. But no, what the attention-getting message was, the job for Moses to deliver all Israel from their 430-year enslavement, but not according to what he was, not according to his talents, not according to his gifts. This was a job completely out of Moses' league, was completely out of the question. And you look at the Old Testament, you look at the New Testament. God uses people that are out of their depth. God uses people that don't have the skill set, that don't have the ability. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't use people that have skills. He does. But skills and a skill set are not necessarily a requirement. And we see that God uses people. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19. Or sorry, chapter 1, verse number 19. 2 Timothy 1, 19 says, chapter 2, verse number 19. Hold on a second. I think I did a typo again. Romans chapter 6. Okay, turn over Romans chapter 6, verse number 13. I pulled a typo again on my scripture reference there. Romans chapter 6, verse number 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness unto God. The message was, Moses, I'm going to use you to do something. And Moses had a decision to make with that message. He had to make a decision. Was he going to submit himself to it? Was he going to do what God wanted him to do? Let me ask a question this morning. Are you doing what God wants you to do in every area of your life? Maybe this morning is going to be the attention getter. Or maybe you've already had an attention getting experience recently. Or maybe you had an attention getting experience this year. Are you going to God saying, Lord, okay, you have my undivided attention. What is it that you're trying to tell me? What is it that you want me to do? What is it that you desire of me? That's a heart that's submitted. That God, whatever you tell me, I'm going to do it. God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Wherever you want me to go. Lord, I'm submitted. I'm going to do. I'm going to live the way you want me to. I'm going to obey you the way you want me to. I'm going to do all of it, Lord. I'm completely submitted. Live give me the power of the Spirit, and I want to live out what you want me to do. Now, Moses was scared to death. You can tell by reading here. Moses was scared to death. In chapter 4, which you don't have time to get into, we see that Moses gives his excuses, gives his reasons for being unable to do this great task. And let's give Moses some credit here in that many times we get all over Moses because he gave excuses. Now, he did give excuses he shouldn't have, but at the same time, this was an impossible task. This was an astronomically hard task, and he had doubts whether he could do it, but it's sometimes when God says, I want you to do this, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to do it. I'm going to use some mighty signs and wonders. I'm going to do this. I'm going to use you. And you're not alone. I'm right there. You're not doing it. I am. You're my hands and my feet, and you go and do it, and I'm going to be with you. I'm going to use you. Moses didn't seem to hear any of that. He heard he had to do it. And he goes, I can't do it. And you can almost see that we know God's patient and God's long-suffering and God is kind. But we see that there were some excuses made, but God made accommodations for Moses. And as I've said many times before, we see the first couple of times Aaron was speaking, but then after that, Moses had no trouble speaking for the Lord and speaking up. Was an attention-getting message. Look back at Exodus chapter 3. Let's continue reading. Maybe when we hear the voice of God, when we hear the message of God, are we willing to do it? Maybe we hear, God, I can't do that because of this. I can't do this because of this. God made accommodation for Moses, and God will give you what you need to accomplish his will. Now, we begin reading on verse number 13. That brings us to our third and final point this morning. First, attention-getting experience. Second, attention-getting message. Third, attention-getting power. So the message was, I'm going to deliver Israel. Now he's going to say how he's going to do it. Verse number 30, Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Now, we don't have time to get into the power of this, the I am statements. We know John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said, the I am statements of Christ, and him saying I am is extremely significant because it's connected to the Old Testament Jehovah God that he said I am, meaning I am the all pre-existent one. I am the eternal God. I am the one true God. I am. I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now, if you're looking at your Bibles right now, you will notice I am is all capitals. That is the title of God. I am the title of God. Verse 15, God said, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. So now he doesn't say, Moses, go figure it out. He's going to tell them what he needs to say. The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac and of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come now and the elders of Israel unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, for not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, and then which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, ye shall not go empty, that every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. So the attention-getting power here, telling Moses, this is what's going to happen, that you're going to go and tell the Pharaoh, and I am going to supply the firepower behind that. Meaning that he knew what Pharaoh was going to do. He knew, God is all-knowing, and he knew that Pharaoh wasn't going to give them up. The Israelites were free workforce for him. that he used them to build treasure cities and build. There's even evidence that the Israelites helped build the pyramids, several of the pyramids, and that they were such a powerful force for Pharaoh that he wasn't just going to let them go and let them go their own way, but that God was going to spoil them in the sense that he was going to bring the plagues upon them, was going to bring pestilence, was going to bring sickness, and eventually the death of the firstborn, and that they were going to be glad to be rid of the Israelites. Now, what's going to happen here at the end with the last couple of verses with the Egyptians giving all their gold and their jewels, and what that was, wasn't that, well, we just love you so much, we're just going to give you a good send-off, is that they were so eager to get rid of the Israelites because of all that had befallen the nation that they were paying them to leave. They said, you know what, you just leave. Just take all that we have. Just get out of here. We just want you gone. And that's exactly what happened. And as the chapters that follow, we see that exactly what God said took place. The power of God. Now, remember, Egypt was the superpower of the world at that time. They ruled most in the known world in that part of the world, at least. Now, how were 1 million Israelites defeat the most powerful man? Pharaoh was considered the most powerful man in the world, the most powerful nation, the most powerful army with chariots and horsemen, and they were a force to be reckoned with. And they were 1 million people against an entire nation, against probably hundreds of thousands of soldiers. They didn't have one weapon. How were they going to defeat them? All they needed was the power of God. As you look at Exodus, you see that it wasn't anything that Moses did. It wasn't anything that the children of Israel did. They just obeyed what God told them to do. It was by the power of God that they were delivered. And maybe we looked at it before, the attention-getting message, a job for Moses. Moses, like, I can't do this. It's okay that we can't do it. It was okay that Moses couldn't do it. God was going to empower him. So this morning, as we close the message this morning, has God gotten your attention today? Maybe you're lost out there this morning. You're tuning in for the first time, and you don't know that your sins are forgiven. You don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can do that today. You can find our contact information on the website. You can find it on our Facebook page. You can give a call right through to the WhatsApp number on Facebook. You can call 254-317-4778. Go right to my cell phone. You can text me even if you don't want to talk on the phone. And I'd love to share with you some verses how you can be saved this morning. But maybe you're a Christian today and you're listening in. Maybe you're a faithful church member, or maybe you're someone that just tuned in just for this morning. Has God gotten your attention today? Has God gotten your attention with the election that we just had? Has God gotten the attention with the social unrest? Has God gotten your attention with a personal problem or maybe something God miraculous did in your life? Whatever the case, God's gotten your attention. God has revealed himself to you. What are you going to do? Are you going to listen and say, God, I'm here? Are you going to be like Isaiah, say, here am I, send me? And as Moses approached that burning bush, he heard his name, Moses, Moses. You know what Moses' response was? Here am I. Here am I. I'm here. I'm listening. Are you listening today? Are you saying, Lord, here am I? You've got my attention. I'm listening. What is it that you want me to do? And maybe it's something he wants you to change. Maybe it's something he wants you to do. Maybe it's some place he wants you to go. Maybe it's a ministry he wants you to do. Maybe it's something, I don't know what it is. It could be anything. Moses, but I'll say this many times, it's something that not something you expect. Moses wasn't expecting to be told that God was going to use him to deliver the whole nation of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He didn't know that. He didn't know that God was going to speak to him. He didn't know that there was going to be a burning bush, an unexpected circumstance, an attention-getting circumstance, an attention-getting message. But remember, God has the power to back that up. God's not going to leave you out there floundering. If God tells you to do something, he's going to give you the power to do it. The all-powerful God is going to be right behind you, is going to be right there, is going to be in your corner helping you do his will. All they needed was the power of God. God chose to use signs and wonders to show Pharaoh who was really responsible. It wasn't some trick. It wasn't intimidation to a man. it was evident that it was the all-powerful God. So this morning, does he have your attention? I pray that he does. If he does have your attention, are you willing to say, Lord, what do you have for me to do in the new year? It's a new year, Lord. What do you have for me? That's what Vision Sunday is all about. Lord, what do you want me to do? What part do you want me to play? I want to be used. Will you use me, dear Lord? Does he have your attention? I pray that he does. If he doesn't, will you find out why in your heart he doesn't have your attention? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for the message you laid on my heart. I pray that you would use it in people's hearts today, whether they're watching live or they'll listen to the recording later on. We pray that, dear Lord, we would give you our undivided attention. Forgive us when we get distracted, when we stop listening, when we get busy. Many times, Lord, it's not that we're trying not to pay attention, but the things of life begin to intrude in. I pray that we each take a time of peace this week and a time of quietness every day to listen for your voice, to say, Lord, what do you have for me? Show me, Lord. Teach me. Show me where I need to improve. Show me what you need me to do. Lord, try my heart. Help me to remove things that ought not be there. Help us, we pray. Lord, we also pray if anybody is not saved listening to this morning, that they would be saved, that they would trust you as their Savior. Bless us, we pray, and bring us back together tonight for another message from your word. Help us, Lord. We thank you for the technology that we have and the ability to do this. Bless each one that is watching today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.